The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Thank you, Hannah. Good morning. Welcome to 2023. Hope you had a good New Year's. Who saw the New Year's in? Hands up. A few of you. Who saw it from the back of their eyelids? Most? Yeah. 8 a.m. I think was even more from the back of the eyelids. Down in Withcott we had a few pops of fireworks at about 1 minute, for about 1 minute at midnight, and then 10 minutes of the dogs just going off. So happy New Year. Of all the places you could be this morning, you're here in the Lord's house. So we're really grateful that you decided to join us for worship, for teaching and for prayer. And we're really glad that you're here with us. And of course, with that new year comes lots of New Year's resolutions. They're those promises that we make to ourselves every January that we're, of course, absolutely positively going to be keeping. The promises, these changes we're going to make that we're going to stick to this time. So any guesses of what some of the most popular resolutions are that people make to themselves? Lose weight, diet, exercise, money, that's right. Here's some of the top ones. Save some money, get healthier, eat healthier, and get fit. They're the most popular. So we all head to the gym with our closest deluded friends on January 1. We're all going to get fit together, and I know on the drive up, I come up the range quite regularly early in the morning, and there's probably at least four times as many cyclists as normal. And the rest of us are in the gym. It's a new me in 23 because we're at the gym, and gym memberships are up 12% every January, and fast food consumption is down around 5%. So we're getting healthy, getting fit. We're all on our best behaviour, maybe a little bit too in much indulgence over Christmas and the holidays. But then slowly and surely, the resolve starts to wane a little bit. Our good behaviour becomes a little bit less frequent. Perhaps we go to the gym every other day, and then maybe it's once a week, and then maybe it's once a fortnight, and then maybe never again. And there's reasons for that. School starts up, we're back to work, and it's just really hard to find the time, isn't it? And the research tells us a couple of things. The first one is that fast food eating actually increases as time goes on and gym membership goes down. And there's actually a point at which those two lines cross over so that we're essentially back to where we were. And does anyone have any ideas of when that might be? March, February, the second weekend in February, according to the research, is essentially when the willpower gives up and we're back to eating McDonald's and not at the gym anymore. And actually 80% of new gym members stop attending altogether within 5 months. So things aren't looking good for resolutions. There's that excitement, that commitment, that resolve. We tend to fall back into being creatures of habit and creatures of comfort yet again. Now, resolutions quickly result in us falling back into old patterns. So sometimes it can feel like that new year, that new milestone, that new birthday is just like another lap around the carousel. You start off with all the good intentions in the world, but then you're back on the carousel again. And around we go. There's lights, there's sound, there's movement. But ultimately, you end up in the same place again. You go back to where you started. Sure, things move up and down, moving ever forward, but you don't really progress. And this repetition isn't a new thing. We'd spent a whole series on the meaninglessness, the cyclicality, the temporary nature of the natural life when we looked at Ecclesiastes. And we see it at work in the history of Israel as well. They would so often turn to other gods and sin and then need a judge to come and rescue them. They wandered in the desert for 40 years because they chose the comfort and safety of what they knew rather than leaning in and having boldness in God. And we see it then in the disciples as well, where they denied Christ, even though they've been with him for so many years. They still denied who he was when the time came. So that sort of habitual comfort is so ingrained in us, it's reinforced by the world around us, that to be on that carousel just seems normal and natural and just part of life. And I think we all know that feeling. So to me, there's four ways that we can look at life on a carousel. Firstly, there's recognizing that you are on a carousel, that life is like that. Secondly, we can escape the carousel, and we'll talk a bit about that soon. Unfortunately, we can relapse into acting like we're still on that carousel after our escape. Or we can embrace that and help others to escape. And we'll look at each of these things this morning. So how do we go about recognizing that there is a carousel, that despite our best intentions and efforts, there's still something that's not happening and we're back where we started? And we're back where we started. And we're back where we started. And around it goes. Well, we know that Paul speaks of his inability to break his old habits through will and through doing good and through following the law alone. And he talks about that in the book of Romans in chapter 7. We start at verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have to desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So there's lots of do's in that categories and do not do's. But what Paul's saying is that despite the knowledge in his head of what right and wrong is, despite the law teaching him what he should do and shouldn't do, and despite his own good efforts, they're actually not enough to stop him from doing evil, because evil is actually inherent in him. That original sin keeps him tethered to that carousel horse. It keeps him coming back to doing what he doesn't want to do. And that's universal. In Romans 3 we read, there's actually no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we recognise that we're all passengers on our own carousel horse sometimes, and we really do need help. So if we know we're on that carousel, if we know that we're all on that ride together, is escape even possible? Can we get off that merry-go-round? Can we break our habits? Is keeping a resolution, is transformational change even possible? So who's seen the original Mary Poppins movie from 1964? Quite a few of us. It's a classic. Now, there's a scene in that movie that involves a carousel, which you might know. So we'll watch that one quickly now.
Very nice indeed. If you don't want to go nowhere.
Who says we're not going anywhere? Oh, God.
Right there, Mary Poppins.
Thank you.
I'm sure a lot of you remember that scene, the escaping of the carousel. I'm sure the Oscar for the little boy and his yahoos is in the mail. So, but I do like what Bert says here, where he says, well, a carousel actually on the face of it seems quite good. You know, a normal life can be quite good if you don't actually intend to go anywhere. But Mary Poppins, and I hope you and I have a different idea, that actually we can get off that carousel. We can have freedom. So escape, you know, they do escape the carousel here. They take their horses out into the open plains. But it's quite hard, and it can't actually be done through your own strength. You'll notice that they needed the help of the man with the lever. They couldn't do it themselves to release them from that ride. And outside help is required to escape into freedom. But that can be easier said than done. Now, I have a distinct memory of, in my 20s, going to Dreamworld with a church group, and we went on the Gravitron. And the gravitron's like a carousel on steroids. You go around and round and round so you can stick to the walls and go upside down and do all sorts of fun stuff. And I have even distincter memory of sitting with my head in my hands for about 30 minutes afterwards, feeling very, very sick. And this is what life tells us, is that sure, you can get off, but the consequences can be painful. You might feel worse than when you're on. So you better just stay on and hang on tight. And it takes a real step of faith, or a leap of faith even, to get off the carousel, to get away from your normality of life. And it can take some radical obedience. But luckily there is one who's gone before us, who's shown us how to escape. And that's Jesus Christ. So as Paul continues in Romans, just after the verse we read before, "So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." So Jesus Christ has come. Sorry, too far. Jesus Christ has delivered Paul from that inescapable effort of his sinful nature. He's come to deliver Paul and to deliver all of us. And again in Romans 3, where we were reminded that Jews and Gentiles alike have sinned and fallen short of the mark, we're also given the escape plan there as well. From verse 24, "And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that comes by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus." So what we have here is that radical sacrifice of Jesus. Christ came to earth and died for each and every one of us. He willingly shed his blood as an atonement for our sinful nature. Christ has pulled the lever on our behalf so that we can escape the carousel. So we're no longer bound to our sinful life because Christ died for each of us. And we have the freedom to take our horse wherever we may want to go. Because we've got that transformational love and that transformational change that putting Jesus as the Lord of our life brings, we can escape. And we're accepted not because of our own inability to overcome our sinful nature. It's not because we can grip on tight or we can ride the horse the best that we can have freedom. But it's because of that external power of Jesus and God and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And as Paul says, on our own we continue to do what we don't want to do. But with Jesus we're able to escape our old lives and ride into freedom with him. Praise be to God for that. So this is really wonderful and good news. Escape is not only possible, but it's actually a promise with Christ Jesus. To become a believer with Christ is like we're walking in one direction. We're heading this way towards destruction. We meet Jesus and we turn 180 degrees and head backwards. But we know that we're not promised an easy life of rainbows and puppy dogs once you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Saviour. We still have that inherent sinful nature. We still have our habits, we still have our comfort. And coming to Christ and your salvation can be a bit like a New Year's resolution. We do it with all of the best intentions and we get excited. We go to church, we're in prayer, we're in fellowship, we're reading the Bible. We can't get enough. It's like we're that new gym goer in the first week of January. We're in hitting up the weights, we're running on the treadmill, we're going to be the fittest, strongest people ever. But then the old habits start to kick in. We start to eat a bit more of the fast food. We go to the gym a bit less often. And in our own lives, we see family struggles, work commitments, school starts again. We've got poor health. We might have ailing parents. And faith in Jesus starts to get hard. The initial sheen can wear off, and it can feel like the carousel is starting to turn again. And we start to fall off the wagon. Perhaps our prayer life's a little bit less than it should be. We're reading the word a bit less often. Maybe we feel alone, or perhaps it's a bit like a resolution, something we're into, but now we're back to normal, quote unquote. So what happens when we actually have that freedom? So we're not on the carousel anymore, but we're still going around and around in circles. It's like we've back on the carousel. We don't have to do that. Our horse can't actually go anywhere. We've been given freedom and Christ died for us. But we can fall back into the familiar and into the comfort and the comfortable and go around and round and act as if we're on that carousel. Because that's what the world says is good and right and normal too. We might relapse. It's like we've walked this way, we've turned around, but then we can't help but look over our shoulder and say, oh, some of those old habits weren't so bad. We might kick them off again. And you might notice another thing, that the horse you're on, it continues to go up and down. And sure, we're no longer on the carousel, but we're still on that horse. We're still living life. There's still highs, there's still lows, hard spots and easy spots. And Jesus never promised a forever upwards going horse, a forever positive life. He didn't say, come to me, all of you who are looking for a good time. I don't have a yoke or a burden. Have some kittens and puppies and Skittles. He didn't say that. We know that Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him on a daily basis. And we read in Hebrews, the author of Hebrews in chapter 11 describes people of faith, and it's a wonderful chapter. But you can't argue that the outcomes are always good in people demonstrating their faith. And we can see that in verse 32 to 38. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. So there is no promise of a positive life. We can face struggles. Jesus didn't say, come to me and we'll have ticket to fame and fortune and comfort. And you might get those things. You might be blessed with those and praise God and glorify him through it. But if not, we might face testing. We might face persecution and more. And we know that the persecuted church is not abandoned by God, but it's actually them living out their faith despite persecution. So how can we embrace that freedom we've been given? We won't be going back onto the carousel despite whether we act like we are, because we've been given freedom through Christ. And this is where we need the support of fellow believers and of the Holy Spirit. And Christ has given us his Spirit as a free gift for all believers. The Spirit binds to us. It reminds us that we're free. So regardless of whether our horses were on or at a high point or at a low point, we're free to follow Jesus and to be a witness of his redemptive power. So this is Jesus. Jesus is the Spirit. And in living in and through the Spirit, we're reminded of the power of our freedom. We're reminded that we're no longer chained to normality. We don't have to be tied to the carousel because we have the Spirit of God living in us. And in 2 Corinthians 3, we read that. It says, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So in other words, the Spirit acts a little bit like Mary Poppins in the clip. Mary Poppins knew that escape was possible and, in fact, caused it to happen. She challenges us, or the freedom of the Spirit challenges us to embrace Jesus. So it's like a resolution that actually sticks. So we see the glory, the transformational power of our Lord and Saviour when we embrace the Spirit because of the challenges we have in life and not despite of them. Having the Spirit in our life helps us to face those challenges head on. So it's actually when we display the love of God in the lowest point of our journey that we really demonstrate the freedom we have in the love of Jesus. Because in the natural, we'd be disappointed and discouraged. We'd cling more closely to the carousel. We're told, just hang on tightly and things will be all right. But we know that's not true because we still end up where we started. But in the spiritual, we need to embrace those challenges that are set before us, and we don't need to do it alone. And that's because the Spirit of Christ is with us. So we may have the Spirit, we may have the freedom. So what are we called to then? We're called to help others to escape. And you might be thinking, great, I've escaped the life's carousel, I've accepted Christ, I'm living in the Spirit, I'm all good now, it's time to just ride the ups and downs of my freedom until I'm called home to glory. Well, not so fast. We're actually called to be brothers and sisters, to make disciples, and to help each other, to know Jesus and to escape into freedom. And to be a follower in Christ means to practice radical acceptance, radical love and radical grace for others. And these can often be the hardest things of all. It's really hard to show grace and acceptance for other people. And the whole world around us is so keen to put people into categories or boxes that say, well, you fit here. You live in the right area. You've got the right amount of money. You like the same things. Maybe you speak the same way, dress the right way, have a similar background. This is your tribe, and you stick to that group. And you don't talk to that other tribe. But Jesus doesn't actually work that way, because he calls us to embrace the sinners, the different and the outcast. Because after all, that's all of us. We're all on that carousel together. We're all sinners. We're all outcasts. So Jesus didn't come say, well, come to me, all of you who don't swear, don't drink, you look like me, make a decent living and do the right thing. In fact, his strongest rebuke was for the self-righteous and for the Pharisees and those who stood up and prayed long and hard and said, thank you, God, that I do everything you tell me to do and that I'm not like that guy, because he's a sinner. Jesus spoke strongly against people like that. He went to the sinners. He didn't turn them away. He didn't rebuke those who were seeking him in desperation. Rather, he loved them, showed them mercy, and forgave their sins. So as believers and followers of Jesus, we can't use our freedom as a way to look down on others and those who need him. Those who are still on the carousel, we can't think we're better because we're off it. Rather, we need to help. We need to show the people that there is a better way, to share the good news of Christ and to tell of his redemption in our lives. And it's really easy to sort of put up the mask of good works and endless blessing once we have that freedom, to pretend that, well, now that I'm off the carousel, my horse is on that ever upward trajectory, even though we might be struggling in the valleys. We know that social media and the society around us encourages us to wear that veil of good things. And it's even a cultural thing here in Australia. A common greeting is, how's it going? No one actually wants to know how you're going. You reply, oh, good, thanks. Can't complain, I'm living the dream. Well, that might not actually be the truth at all. And the other thing we hear quite often is, how often have people said, well, I can't go to church, the walls might fall in. When actually this place and churches should be somewhere where our believers and seekers, it's the safest place of all for them to not be okay. So how do we demonstrate radical humility and radical honesty when everything around us says that that's not the done thing, that we have to put up the front and pretend that everything's fine, that we're all sweet? So again, in Romans, Paul has this for us in chapter 15. From verse 1, he says, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbours for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. And may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. So we've been called to give a helping hand, to help each other upwards, to help each other off the carousel to show that there is a better way. We've been given the freedom and the spirit of radical acceptance and radical grace to remember that we are all sinners on that carousel, and it's only through the gift of God that we have our freedom. It's not because we're the best horse rider. So we're called as believers to make disciples to help others to escape, and that can happen anywhere. As we heard with Johnny, that can be a cafe in Borneo because of the rain. People need help. Everybody needs Jesus in their life. It can be at our schools, at our workplaces, in our neighbourhoods. We're called to make disciples and to help others to escape and to point those around us towards Jesus. And freedom gives us a gift that we... But if we keep using that gift to cover ourselves, to wear our veil and to mask ourselves, it's actually not freedom at all. We're still chained. And so may the Lord Jesus help us to help those around us. And may he help us to rejoice with those who are at the high point of their ride and to help and strengthen and build those who are maybe at a low point. Because we've made brothers and sisters not to judge, but to love. So where do you sit? Are you still on the carousel, holding on for all we're worth and begging for escape? Well, there's good news, and that's Christ died and rose again for you. He reigns for you and you can be free. Or perhaps you have escaped with Christ. You've escaped that carousel of life. And we say, praise the Lord and welcome to the family. Or maybe you have freedom, but you still feel like you're on that carousel. We're still repeating and making the same mistakes, trying to break the same habits. So we are free. Those old habits are hard to break, but we need to embrace the Spirit. We need to ask for help for those around us. And we need to practice honesty and to ask and tell others when we're struggling. Well, finally, you might be living in freedom and you've been called to help others to escape. We need to practice radical acceptance, to share the love of Jesus with others, to tell them about Christ and his salvation. And we need to be on the lookout for others on the carousel that we can help. Because we've been blessed to know that there is a better way and that there is an escape plan. So just in finishing, I do say if you do need any help, if you are recognising yourself in any of these, please do come forward for prayer. There'd be people here who would love to pray for you, to listen to your story in humility, in honesty, and to help you escape. And really just pray that we can embrace the love and the sacrifice that Jesus has made for all of us. And that in the name of Jesus, 2023 will be a life of freedom, a year of freedom, and a year that we can escape the carousel. So let's finish in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came and you sacrificed yourself for us, that you took our old ways, our sins upon you, that we could break free of our carousels of life, that we can have freedom in you. Holy Spirit, we pray that you will fill us, that you will show us that we are free, that you will remind us that we can move forward in our lives, to break free of those old habits. Lord, we pray that we embrace the freedom that you've given us, that we can help to look out for others, that we can help to look out for others who are in need. And Lord, we just take a moment now to think about what we've heard this morning, what it is we might do with it. What can we do this year? We thank you, Jesus, that you hear our prayers. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Son. We pray that we'll all have blessing in abundance through Jesus Christ our Lord in 2023. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07463611144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.